Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. In the United States, biosimilars can cause some concerns for patients and physicians who may not be fully versed in what biosimilars are. Because biosimilars are not the same as generic drugs, differ slightly from their originator products, and are often used in complex disease states like rheumatology, oncology, and ophthalmology, providers and patients may have the impression that biosimilars are less effective and safe than originators. Education is often seen as a pivotal tool in building confidence in biosimilars, as it can dispel myths and provide real-world information on the history and use of these products. We sat down with Dr. Kyrlos Hanna, the manager of oncology pharmacy at the University of Minnesota Medical Center, to discuss how he has worked to build patient and physician confidence in biosimilars and what strategies worked best for his practice. Hanna is also an associate editor for the Journal of the Advanced Practitioner in Oncology and an assistant professor at the Mayo Clinic School of Medicine. So, how have you been able to explain what biosimilars are to patients and providers? And how did you encourage them to use these agents? Did you create any educational materials, or did you have more face time with patients and providers to explain this to them?
Yeah, we have actually each year, as we begin to see more and more biosimilars come to market, we are increasing, once we as a system decide on a biosimilar of choice for a reference product, we set a percentage that we try to achieve in patients utilizing that biosimilar. And what I mean by that, so, let's say it's 2020 and we were not using bevacizumab biosimilar hypothetically. So if we at the end of 2020 said at the beginning of 2021, we're going to transition all our patients to a bevacizumab biosimilar. And again, whether it's we're keeping active patients on what they're on and only doing new starts or doing all our patients, we then set a percentage. We say we want 50, 60, 70% utility in our clinics. So we try to set these specific thresholds. And as we continue to see expanded indications and those kinds of things, we slowly try to increase that percentage endpoint, goal of utilizing biosimilar. We don't incentivize physicians or anything of that sort. They just simply become the system standard. So within our EMR, we change all our plans to be that biosimilar of choice for the system. Now, these go through a rigorous process. So they go through P&T, they go through various committees and work groups in the service line to ensure everybody's on the same page that this biosimilar will become the University of Minnesota, the mHealth Fairview product of choice going forward until we ever have to switch again if we want to. And then that's what really has led to our success. We don't really let a physician, because everything is switched, it automatically goes to default to prescribing that. Now, a physician also has the autonomy that if they, and as long as insurance is okay with it, let's say a patient had an issue with a biosimilar, although that's very, very rare, very, very unlikely. A physician certainly has the ability to switch back to the reference product if they so choose, although we're not seeing much of that. I can count on probably on one hand. And, since we've been using biosimilars, where we've went back to the reference product due to a patient preference or a prescriber feeling that there may have been some slight difference between the products, although from, what we've learned now, that shouldn't be the case with reference and biosims.
Well, Dr. Hanna, thank you for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.